Oh God, words seem inadequate for this day. Images are so much better. The garden, the stone rolled away, the empty tomb, the folded grave clothes. They remind us of the greatest truth of our lives, that we were not born to live and die without hope, but that there is a life above and beyond this one that we can now only imagine. So help us, Lord, to keep these images in the foreground of our consciousness, for when we forget them, we so easily succumb to the hollowness and the emptiness of the world around us, and we are tempted, like your disciples, to lock ourselves away in a room with our doubts and our fears, and we become afraid. So on this Easter Sunday, as we are gathered here together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, and we pray that you would renew our faith today. Transform us, Lord, and grant that we may see all of life from a very different vantage point, from your vantage point. We ask that you make us more aware of our sins and more eager to follow you and to do your will in our daily lives. We ask that you convert the desires of our hearts so that we no longer live just for ourselves, but for others. Make us good. Make us generous. Make us loving. Help us to find joy in the simple things of life that you provide for us. Draw us back into the way of Jesus, the way of love and of service and self-discipline and devotion to you. Teach us to set our feet where his feet have walked. Help us to take up the cause of the powerless and the oppressed. Let us go where he would go and do what he would do. Not for honor, not for glory, not for even self-satisfaction, but because he wants it and expects us as his followers to follow him there. So shatter our complacency, the way your power rolled away that stone from the grave that first Easter, and let us step forward into the world with confidence to change the human situation as your Holy Spirit leads us and empowers us. And grant that we may experience renewal and rededication and the kind of deep peace and joy that will constantly prepare us for our battles against the evil one. So, Lord, let the Christ who reigned triumphantly on that first Easter day 2,000 years ago reign triumphantly in our hearts today and from this day forth, and let us honor him with the very substance of our lives, now and forever. Empower us to practice resurrection every day, indeed every moment of our lives. This is our prayer in the name of the risen Christ, who lives and reigns with you forever and who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to join with me in our words of assurance. When we lock ourselves away in the upper room of our lives, when believing does not come easily and we are more skeptical than faithful,
Christ's presence comes to us with words of assurance.
When tears come to our eyes so that we cannot see signs of resurrection,
Christ's presence comes to us with words of hope.
Our assurance is Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Next Sunday morning, I want to remind everyone that we'll be having a special guest speaker here. Sonia Habamana is one of the best preachers that I've ever heard in my life. I've never heard her speak anywhere that she didn't just electrify the room. So I hope that you are going to be here to be part of that and to help celebrate what we are doing next weekend. Starting on Friday, we'll have a worship service here on Friday night, and then on Saturday, we'll have our Mission Madness, and we'll have a number of mission events that will be going on. And then on Sunday morning, we will have Sonia preaching in 8:30 and 11 o'clock. And then at the 9:45 hour, we'll be in the fellowship hall together, and we're going to be having her lead us in an event on spiritual gifts. So we hope that you will come and be part of that and come to celebrate it. Question for everybody as we get started here. Has it cooled off in the room? A little bit. Okay, just sit there and just look at me. Has the room cooled off just a little bit? Okay, good. I appreciate it. I turned the air conditioner down and I didn't feel anything and I didn't hear anything, so I wasn't sure that it was working. I was pretty sure that Abram's baptism had broken the air conditioner, but it didn't. It bring it right on. So thank you, and thank you for being here and being part of this. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the I Am teachings of Jesus that come out of the Gospel of John. Jesus was trying to help us to have a new vision of life, to be able to see how he could come to us and could bring new life to everything that we are doing in life. And so we have been looking at these I Am teachings. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the vine and you are the branches. I am the good shepherd of all people. Those are the I Am statements that we have looked at so far today. We are going to be looking at one more of these teachings. Our second lesson today comes from John 11:25-26. I am the resurrection and the life. They who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Let's pray together. God, open our hearts and our minds to your word today. This is the most holy and special day of the Christian year. Remind us as we gather here that you have something to say to us every day of life, and particularly on this day. Help us to be open to your teaching and help us to accept it and want to live it every day. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. One of the best preachers and storytellers that I ever heard in my life was Dr. Fred Craddock. He was a Disciples of Christ minister who was a professor preaching at Emory University. He used to tell a story about something that happened. It was a true story about something that happened in the Wyuka Road Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. When Bill Self was the pastor of that church, it was one of the largest churches in America, and every Easter, Wyuka filled their sanctuary with over 500 Easter lilies. They put them on the altar, they put them in the windows, they put them in the chancel, they put them at the doors. They had a huge cross that they erected every year on the front yard, and it was filled with Easter lilies, just like ours is right here. For $5, you could dedicate a lily in honor of someone that had changed your life or in memory of someone that you loved that had passed on. Half of that money went to the missions program of the church. Half of it went to the benevolence fund. They took in thousands of dollars every year. That was a great tradition that had been going on for years, but in the 1980s, that tradition got derailed by one woman who decided that she was going to take her lily that she had paid for and give it to somebody. So without asking, she went and she got her lily. And when she did, that's when she realized the lily was artificial. It was made of silk. So in the true spirit of the resurrection and in the true spirit of Jesus Christ, that woman went nuts. First, she yelled at the pastor. I can't imagine anybody doing that, but it certainly happens apparently somewhere. And so they started yelling at the pastor. Then she got on the phone. She called everybody she knew. And she stirred up such a hornet's nest over this, they finally had to have a meeting about it. Over 200 people showed up for that meeting. The first question that they asked was, where did they hide 500 fake flowers during the year? And then they wanted to know what happened to the $5 that people had given to pay for those lilies. The chair of the church council got up and said, "You're not paying for the lilies. You're giving a donation in honor or in memory of somebody, and the money goes to missions and benevolence. This isn't a secret. It's the first paragraph of the form that you fill out to give your $5 and to tell us who you're giving it for." Didn't make any difference at all. People just kept raving about those artificial flowers and how the leaders of the church had pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. That meeting went on for about 90 minutes with people griping about flowers. Finally, Bill Self got tired of it. Now, folks, Bill Self is somebody that I knew personally. He was a personal friend to me, was a true friend to me at some of the worst times of my life. But Bill was not the guy that you wanted to go start shaking your finger at. He did not deal with that well. And so finally, Bill got tired of listening to all the griping that was going on. So he stood up. He walked up in front of the church. He said, "The decision to start using artificial flowers was made by the Chancel Committee in 1970. If we bought fresh flowers every year, it would cost thousands of dollars every year. By buying artificial flowers, we buy them once every 10 years or so, and we can channel thousands of dollars to missions and to benevolence. Which one do you think Jesus would choose of that? Buying fresh flowers that would cost us thousands of dollars, or sending that money to missions and benevolence?" Said, "Now, folks, I am telling you, we're not wasting thousands of dollars on fresh flowers that'll die in a month, and we're not going to waste another minute of the resurrection of Jesus arguing about darn flowers. Now, we're through with this. Let's stand up and let's go home and let's not mention this again. Blessings to you. Goodbye." In case you're wondering, that wasn't the last he ever heard of it. But everybody quit complaining, and they got up and they went home. The little lady that started all the complaining never stopped complaining about it, but she was complaining about it in another church starting the next week. Churches are just like everything else in society. They are made up of people. And when something is made up of people, you can be guaranteed that something ridiculous is going to happen sooner or later, because people can be ridiculous in life. Someone once said that the only perfect church was a church with nobody in it. The minute somebody walks in, it's not perfect anymore. That is absolutely true, and the pastor's not exempt from that, except for here. The point of this story is not that people can be ridiculous. It's not even about artificial flowers. The point of this story is the resurrection of Jesus is a terrible thing to waste. Whatever you're wasting it over, it's a terrible thing to waste. But unfortunately, we tend to do that more than we realize. When we get angry about absolutely nothing at all, we're wasting the resurrection. We get angry about something that's important and we start taking it out around us, we're wasting the resurrection. When we choose our agenda over Jesus's agenda, we're wasting the resurrection. When we come to church to celebrate Easter, but we don't follow Jesus the rest of the days of the year, we're wasting the resurrection. If the power of the resurrection doesn't affect your life every day in the decisions you make and even in the way that you act, you're wasting the power of the resurrection. Too many people have a tendency to waste the power of Easter. And that's sad, because the resurrection is an act of God that is a gift for us, for all of us. When God brought Jesus back out of that grave that first Easter Sunday, he was declaring eternal victory for all of us. The power of the resurrection makes it clear that nothing can ultimately defeat us, not even death. Here's another true story. A few years ago, there was a 6-year-old boy named David who was walking with his grandmother. One of the places they decided to walk was through the community cemetery. As they were walking along, David asked his grandmother what the dates on the grave markers meant. His grandmother said, "The first date is the year they were born. The second date is the year that they died." David said, "Why do some of the markers only have one date on them?" His grandmother said, "Because those people haven't died yet." That night, David's mother asked David what he did with his grandmother that day. David said, "We walked through the cemetery, and do you know what I found out? Some of those people who are buried, they aren't even dead yet." David didn't quite understand what his grandmother was trying to tell him, but what he said leads to yet another question. Are we going to live dying, or are we going to die living? That's what Jesus is actually talking about in John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. These two verses of scripture that we're looking at today come from the resurrection story, but it's not the resurrection of Jesus. It's the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends, and Lazarus had gotten sick, and so his sisters Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus because they wanted him to come and help. But much to their surprise, Jesus waited 2 days before he even went to their town of Bethany, and by the time they got there, Lazarus was dead, and Mary and Martha had given up hope. In fact, when Jesus finally got to Bethany, the first thing that Martha said to him was, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Martha was angry with Jesus. She knew Jesus could have helped her brother. She knew Jesus could have kept him from dying. And in her mind, Jesus got there too late. He could have gotten there in time, but he didn't, and Martha was mad about it. And a few minutes later, when Mary showed up, the first thing that Mary said to Jesus was, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Those women were angry. They were angry at God in the flesh. Question that we need to ask ourselves again is, have we ever been angry at God? Have you ever been in a situation where you were honestly, sincerely praying for something, and it just didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to? And so you found yourself getting angry with God, or you found yourself doubting your faith. If any of you have ever been in a situation like that, this story ought to give you, it ought to give me hope. Because when Mary and Martha got angry with Jesus, Jesus's response to them was love and compassion. Jesus didn't make excuses. He didn't get angry. He didn't complain. He didn't condemn Mary and Martha for questioning his judgment, questioning what he did. All Jesus did was he looked at those grieving sisters with compassion, and he wept for them. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, Jesus was greatly disturbed and deeply moved, and Jesus began to weep. Jesus' heart was broken for those people because Jesus knew exactly how it felt to lose somebody he loved. We know that Jesus' daddy, Joseph, died sometime after Jesus was 12 years old, so Jesus knew exactly how Mary and Martha felt. He knew exactly how it felt to want healing to come and to have death come instead. This passage of scripture is important because what it teaches us is Jesus cares about us, all of us. Our lives matter in heaven just like they matter on earth. And God wants us to have faith in him. And he wants us to know that he is willing and able to be involved in our lives. He isn't off in the distance just ignoring our problems and going about his business. Jesus is right here. And his goal is to bring the power of the resurrection to our lives. And if we can just muster even the slightest amount of faith in God, God will take that little bit of faith and he will turn it into an opportunity for joy. Now let me point out, I'm saying joy and not happiness. Happiness, as I've said many times, is circumstantial. Good things happen and we're happy. Bad things happen and we're not happy. But joy is different. Joy comes to us when we know that we're walking with God and that God has chosen to walk with us, and that no matter what the situation is that we're facing, God will be there with us and he will be our power and our strength in the midst of it. Martha was angry with Jesus, but she still had just enough faith to look at Jesus and say, "Even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Martha had a tiny bit of faith, and Jesus' response to that was, "Your brother will rise again, for I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live." When Jesus got to Bethany that day, Mary and Martha were having a funeral. They were angry and they had given up on Jesus. Their brother Lazarus was dead, and in their minds, dead was dead. But what they didn't seem to realize was Jesus was the power of the resurrection. Death isn't the last word if you're walking with Jesus. The last word with Jesus is always eternal life. Mary and Martha had beckoned Jesus to come and help Lazarus, and in their minds, Jesus was 2 days late getting there. But what they didn't seem to realize was 2 days late is right on time if you're walking with Jesus. When Jesus shows up, the power of life shows up, and that power can change everything. It may not always change what has occurred, but it can bring life and hope to our situation, and it can give us the power to be resurrected to new joy and to new vision in the situation that we are facing and even in the future that is out before us. To live dying is to give up hope. To die living is to walk in the hope of Jesus regardless of our circumstances. Mary and Martha had decided to live dying. They sent for Jesus. He didn't show up. Their brother was dead, and all they could see was death and darkness. But when Jesus got there, they suddenly remembered that Jesus was the light of the world. Mary and Martha suddenly had hope for the future. They were still angry, but they knew the power of heaven was alive in Jesus. So whatever Jesus decided to do, it was going to transform that situation. Just the presence of Jesus shifted their minds. Even though she was angry, Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and the first thing that she did was she ran to meet Jesus because Jesus was hope, Jesus was life, Jesus was her friend. Death might come, but they could die living because they knew Jesus cared enough to respond to their brokenness. He cared enough to go and meet them. And that response brought the power of resurrection. Their faith was resurrected. Their hope was resurrected. Their joy was resurrected. They knew there was life in Jesus that was more powerful than the grave. Friends, we are here today because we are an Easter people. We're here because we believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So the very last thing we need to do is waste Easter. We're here because we not only believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but we want to live the resurrection. We want to live the new life, the whole life, the abundant life that Jesus has promised to give us. We want to live a joyful life, a redeemed life, a meaningful life, a transformed life. We're here because we want to embrace the resurrection and to make it our purpose for living. The resurrection of Jesus from the grave is a declaration to the world that the purpose of life is not death. The purpose of life is life. It's undefeated life. Sooner or later, our bodies are going to give out, but our souls are never going to give out. They have been resurrected with Jesus. Our souls belong to God, and nothing is going to stop our souls from living. God will not allow us to be defeated by life or death if we will keep faith in Him. Things may not always go our way. Things may hold us back. Things may trouble us, but not even the grave is going to hold us down. When Jesus came out of that tomb 2,000 years ago, He was declaring that death was never going to have the last moment of life ever again. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and He can empower us to live. He can empower us for success. God wants us to have Easter in our hearts this morning. Hearts that are full of new possibilities, new drive, new love, new hope, new outlooks, new positivity. God wants us to cast off our grave clothes. The world can wear a shroud if it wants to do that, but resurrection people are done with shrouds. Death shrouds are for people who have chosen to live dying, but we're not going to live dying because our stone has been moved today. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. life, and we're going to live with him. We're going to be part of the team that will go into the world and build the possibilities that have been dreamt out of the mind of God. We are an Easter people, and Easter people are rock-rolling people. The first sign of life in that cemetery that morning on that first Easter day was that the stone had been rolled away. Jesus needed to come out, and the resurrection and the life moved that stone. And that is the gift that we are here to celebrate today, that we are here to accept, and that we are called to live out. Resurrection Hearts are in the business of offering people a way out of the tombs that are trapping their spirits. We're called to roll away the stone of despair, the stone of delusion, the stone of selfishness, the stone of false hope, the stone of fear, the stone of hatred, the stone of grief, the stone of division, the stone of hopelessness. Resurrection Hearts are hearts that claim the victory even when we are not yet seeing the victory, and we live by faith that the victory has already come and we're part of it because Jesus has brought it to us. At the end of World War II, when the Allies were liberating the Nazi death camps, the Americans were shocked when they discovered that there were a number of American soldiers who had been sent to the death camp at Buchenwald instead of being sent to a prisoner of war camp. Apparently, the Nazis didn't have all of the slaves that they wanted to work in those camps, and so they sent American prisoners of war to work as slaves. The man that I worked for in Calhoun, Georgia, when I was a teenager, he owned the funeral home there. He was one of those prisoners who had been worked almost to death in the death camp at Buchenwald. There was a soldier in that camp who was actively dying when the Americans got to him. So the unit chaplain went to that soldier and he picked him up and he held him in his arms and he told him that he was free, that they were there. When he did, that soldier looked at me and said, "I always knew you would come, and I'm glad I got to live to see it." Then he said, "Chaplain, will you do me a favor? When you get back to America, I would appreciate it if you would go see my wife and tell her that I got to see the victory, and I did the best I could to help make it happen." Friends, the message of Easter is the war is won. The stone has been rolled away. We may still have to fight some battles along the way, and they may be tough battles along the way, but we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live dying, and we don't have to live without purpose because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and we're on the winning side of life. We're on the winning side of everything. The war is won. And if we will just give our lives to Jesus, he will move our stones, and he will work through us to move the stones of the world that feel like they're holding everybody down. We are living in the victory of the resurrection. Let us celebrate, and let us be part of the message. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, today we have come to you in power and in strength. Not because we have power, but because you have power and you have brought it to us as a gift. You are the resurrection and the life, and we have come here to celebrate that resurrection. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Fill us with hope. Fill us with grace. Fill us with love. Fill us with confidence. Fill us with the belief that the success is ours, that the victory is ours, that the war of life is over, that you've already had the victory. And that we have seen the stone move. Come, Lord, move the stones in our lives that would keep us from being everything you would have us be. Move the stone in our life that would keep us from having faith in you, and help us to be able to say with confidence, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Fill my heart with your resurrection power and help me to be part of your mission in this world. I know that you are what's missing, and I am asking you to come and live within me and to guide me in every step that I will take, because you are the life that I have always wanted. And so I am asking you to be my life forever. Come to us today, O Lord, and fill us with the presence of the resurrection. For it is in your name we pray. Amen." Thank you for coming and joining us today for this Easter day. Remember, as we leave this place, that we are called to be an Easter people. Let's not make this a one-day celebration. Let's remember it, that it is called to fill us for every day that we live, and we are called to go into the world and make a difference. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone.